Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. We're just going to go into it. I want to touch some things that I think as always, I think are important. If you're on the same wavelength as I, you'll be blessed. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, this is Paul speaking, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Next verse. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Next verse. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, go on, until I stop, go on. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Go on. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man's work shall be burnt. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, I need you to understand that when it comes to purpose and destiny, it has two shapes. There are two shapes of purpose and destiny, at least according to me and what I've seen in the Bible. The first shape of purpose is that it is a journey. That means God is trying to take you to a particular destination. And he takes you to destination, to that destination in levels. He reveals where you're going in levels and degrees based on your obedience. And many of you who have been in church long enough would understand that if you've been in church long enough, you will understand that God does not say something else if he has already told you to do something and you don't do it. Praise the Lord. And so every step from one destination to another to get you to the final destination is based on the obedience of the instruction that God gives you. Now, this is extremely important what I'm telling you, that the first shape of purpose is that it is a journey. So God is trying to get you, everyone here, he's trying to get you to a particular destination. That's why if you look through the Bible, there were men like Abraham. He says, leave your homeland and go to a place that I shall show you. Moses is told to go back to Egypt to get the people so that he can take them to a particular destination. So there's an aspect of your purpose that has to do with getting you to a particular point that God desires. But that's not what I'm going to dwell on today. I'm going to dwell on the second shape of destiny, the second shape of purpose, which is that there is an aspect of all your destinies here that has to do with building. So the first aspect is that you're heading to a particular direction. The second one is that every man must build. There's something all of you must build. Now I want you to understand something, that if you're called to be an author, for example, a writer, and you write a book, do not conclude that you have built. You've just laid one brick. Are you with me? Because along with that book, maybe you're supposed to write 16 other books. And on top of that, maybe you're supposed to influence people who want to write books. You're supposed to teach them. On top of that, maybe you're supposed to travel the world and show people what it is, that the message that God has given you in those books. And on top of that, maybe with the money that you get, you're supposed to finance the kingdom. All those are different aspects of a building. The book is just a brick. So when you successfully become an author, do not conclude that you have been successful in your purpose. Because the scripture that we read here claims, it says that a man can build gold, silver, it says precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So the issue is not building. Anyone can build. The issue is what material are you using? Now, please pay very close attention to what I'm saying here. that every one of us here is called to build something. That's why if you look through scripture, the Bible says, by wisdom, Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 4, it says, by wisdom, a house is built. It says, by wisdom, a house is built. Why by wisdom? Because every one of us here have different houses we're supposed to build based on our purpose. Wisdom is where you place your pillar exactly where God wants you to put and not copy someone else's house. And you will find that your house is standing because you did not just copy, you used wisdom. It says, by wisdom, a house is built. It goes on to say, by understanding, that very same house is established. Then it goes on to say that by knowledge, the rooms of that house are filled with riches. Now, okay, go back to verse 3. It says, through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. Verse 4. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Everyone here, whether they know it or not, is building something. Everyone, at least you're supposed to build something. Now, I want you to understand that. Give me, there's a scripture I want. Luke, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Before we go there. How many people here have a passport? If you have a passport, put up your hand. Okay, put down your hand. If you don't have a passport, put up your hand. Okay, just stand up if you don't have a passport. Stand up. I want to see you. Even those that are expired. If you don't have a passport, now, sit down. There are a number of things as a child of God and purposely as a member of this ministry, as a person who attends, that I'm going to demand that you have. You must have a passport. And I'm going to have a passport. This year should not end without you having a passport. I'll ask the question again. Without you having a passport, I'm going to make my point. There are things that you must have. Have a passport. Number two, you must have a lawyer on your phone. Not because of trouble. Please understand. And I'm not just talking about, hey, my friend is there. I'm talking about actually having talked to someone who has some legal understanding, who qualifies as a lawyer that can help you in building your dream. Because this world, moving forward without the aid of a lawyer, you're living in the air. So you must have a lawyer. Thirdly, you must have either a man of God on your phone. Or if not, you don't have to have them on your phone. Have access to a man of God. Those three. Okay. Now you've kept quiet. Again, have a passport. Okay? Have a lawyer. Have a man of God. I could add on others. Have someone who's good with finances. Because the ability to have money does not mean that you're good. Someone who can teach you what stewardship is. We could go on and on. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, take me there. Matthew 11, verse 11. I need to feel the direction we're going here. Matthew 11, verse 11. Quick. Assuredly, this is Jesus speaking, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now there's a principle here that is very vital for life. It says, there is no one among those born of a woman on earth. None had risen greater than John the Baptist. But he who was least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In the spheres of life, there are kingdoms. And I want to explain what these kingdoms are. Because when we start from the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis, Adam is created. Adam is created and is given everything necessary for man to succeed. He's given a mandate: be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion over the earth. Fruitfulness is the ability to be productive. Multiplication is the ability to influence. And dominion is the ability to establish something that cannot be shaken. All right? Now, he's given that mandate. Within the Garden of Eden, when Adam is created, the first institution we see is the institution of family, and along with it, the institution of marriage. All right? You're with me so far. I'm not talking about relationships today. Don't worry. Eh? So, as time goes on, when man sins, we begin to see the birth of various institutions. Okay? So we see various categories of aspects of men that they are supposed to dominate in, at least children of God. And so all of a sudden, we begin to see men operating in farming. Then we see governments coming up at the Tower of Babel. Okay? Then as time goes on, you begin to see different aspects or kingdoms. Now, what I need you to understand with this scripture that I read here is that when a man has understanding in his kingdom, and you are great in a particular area but do not have understanding in that kingdom, the least in that kingdom is greater than you. So, let me explain. Let's say real estate is a kingdom. If I have understanding of real estate, I've understood how the world operates in it, all right? But I don't have money. I haven't succeeded in terms of what they call success. And you have money, want to get into real estate, but you have no understanding. The least in this kingdom is greater than you. Now, I need you to understand what I'm saying. Let me use music. If I understand the music industry, I've been in it long enough, I know how it operates, I know how the difference between the music industry in Africa and that abroad. And so I know the nitty-gritties, but I haven't succeeded in it yet. And you have all the money and all the ability and just enter the music industry. The least in that kingdom is greater than you. Okay. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is a very vital principle, because by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Now, I want to show you something. In the book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. Luke 16 and verse 9. We're starting with a lot of scripture, then where we end. And I say unto you, this is a strange scripture. Make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. Okay, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. Give me an NIV. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. Yeah. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Because people are there saying, yeah, it's worldly wealth. He's saying, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. Now, what he's saying here is that you must be acquainted with the secular. You cannot dominate what you're not acquainted with. I assure you. You can't. So you enter that world, understand its pillars, what makes it work, what makes it function, and then add spirit.
Amen.
When you add spirit, you've just begun the process of dominion. These things, and I tell you, children of God, these things of, I received the prophecy, I'm waiting for the Lord to carry me and put me there. By wisdom, a house is built. By knowledge, by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious things.
Amen.
You must have a clear understanding of that world, the world that you're going into. Now, this is very, very important. Very important what I'm telling you. In the Bible, whenever people were building, the first thing that God built in the Bible was you. According to scripture, he makes man, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Ever since then, God has stopped constructing. What God does is that he designs, you construct. Now, okay, I feel like people are not on my wavelength. So let's move slowly. Let's move slowly. The world has learned how to function and do things. They have learned what they are supposed to do. But they don't know what God is supposed to do. Amen. The church has learned what God is supposed to do. But they don't know what they are supposed to do. Are you getting me?
Yes. Eh? Yes.
Now, because of that mismatch, there is a problem with dominion taking place.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of people in church lifting up their hands, saying, Lord, I have tithed, I have partnered, I have sowed, I have prayed. You have let me down. You must understand that you construct.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
You're the constructor, not God. Let me show you through scripture. He shows up to Noah, says, build an ark according to the pattern. God shows the dimension, you construct it. He shows up to Moses, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. He says, you built this tabernacle according to the pattern showed you in heaven. So God showed it, Moses had to construct it.
Amen.
David is given an image of a temple. He hands it over to the son must construct it. Do you see God constructing? Now, many of us are waiting for God to construct. And I'm going to give you examples as we go on. This is where the mistake is. Because you need to understand that God shows you an image. Give me, who served the copy of the shadow of heavenly things? Hebrews 8:5. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all the things according to a pattern shown you on the mountain. Listen, children of God. You don't hear a pattern. You see it.
Amen. Amen.
This is very important what I'm telling you. You don't hear a pattern. You see it. And then when you see it, you build. For every person here that God has given something to construct, there has been a design that has been released. If it hasn't been released to you directly, God will put someone in front of you as a pattern you're supposed to follow.
Amen.
Okay? The word pattern comes from the word pater, meaning father.
Amen.
In other words, you see someone, and when you see that person, you don't hear. You see. And based on what you see, you conform.
Amen.
So if you're seeing wrong, you get to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Pattern. Father. Now, I know there are people out there who have a problem with spiritual fatherhood and the concept, and they don't believe in that. I want you to understand that whether secular or godly, anyone that you admire, that you look to, has instantly become your father. And so knowingly or unknowingly, you follow that pattern. And whatever you see, you take over and becomes part of your life. That's why you must see well. Now, I need you to understand that patterns, you follow the spirit of a pattern, not the act of it. Yeah. Here we're going to step on some shoes. Okay. If my spiritual father wears men's brown shoes, the pattern is not me wearing men's brown shoes. The pattern is me wearing nice shoes.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
If my spiritual father has beards and he makes them gray, the pattern is not for me to try to grow beards and make them gray. The pattern is that I need to look good.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because if the pattern was copying the gray beards, what would the ladies who follow him do? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
If the pattern is to wear men's shoes, brown ones, like my father, what will the ladies do? Wear men's shoes? You follow the spirit of the pattern. And today, I think I'll just end there. So what is the spirit of a pattern? For example, where there's a spirit of excellence, I carry it. I have my own taste of clothes. The pattern is the spirit of excellence. Where there is worship, I follow it. I don't have to sing the same songs. The pattern is worship. Oh my God. Now, this doesn't just have to apply for men of God, and I'm talking about anyone that you look to. You follow the spirit of the pattern. Praise the living God. So the word pattern comes from Father, meaning source. Someone has gone ahead of you and you've looked, seen it, and grabbed it and taken it up. Now the principle there is this, that you must understand that every one of us has been called to build something, to construct it. I remember when we were sitting with my team, a few people, and I sat down about a year ago, and I said, next year, I want us to prepare. We're going to plan to go to Israel the year after. You understand? And so the first thing was for me to have a vision. The second thing was for me to realize that when something is being built, just like in a house, there are professionals for each part. There are professionals for windows, professionals for doors, professionals for inside. I don't build everything. The ability for me to recognize that I have a vision of an app, a ministry app. I go to my administrator, say, I need an app. Her job is to look for someone who can do it. My job ends there. The vision has been set. As she goes, she hands over to the person who can do the app. Her job stops there. The ability to know where you start and where you stop determines how efficient you are in building. I wish you guys could understand what I'm saying. Eh? This is why, for any success to be true, you must learn where, in terms of what you're building, you stop. When someone was building the app, I never went into the programming. My job was, when it was done, I looked at it and said, this is not what the Lord showed me. Change this. By the time it comes out, people are clapping, but everyone has played their part. Now, your life is just like that. Huh? Partners are not found only in ministry. They are found in life. And God provides partners for what you're supposed to build. They're right around you. They're nearby. They're not far. And everyone must play their part to ensure that your building is constructed. Whether it's hay, stubble, wood, precious stone, silver, or gold, is dependent on how much you let everyone do their part. If I start coming into my administrator's role, who, by the way, has a fantastic ability to see detail, and when I know my weakness, I'll say, tell me what you think about that. Rabbi, the color is this. I don't think this. For me, I'm like, really? I didn't see all that. But the ability to hand over to someone, having realized their strength. And so when something is produced, it's not just one person. People have worked together. Every person knows their part. That's how things are built. Amen. Now, I'm getting somewhere. I'm getting somewhere with this. This is how things are built. Because later, as we go on, I'm going to tell you how the world has strategized itself and why the church seems to be stuck in limbo. Because we're trying to do things, but you don't have vision, the ability to see ahead. When we're setting up a ministry podcast, when we set up season one of the podcast, for those who have listened to it, we had already planned for season three. And by the time season three came, we already planned for season five. The ability to see beyond now to throw yourself into the invisible, way ahead of you, is important. Why? Because if your vision stops when you're 30, the moment you reach 30, depression is inevitable. Why? Because you can't see beyond it. You haven't mastered the art of seeing beyond it. Because you only realize that you just wanted to graduate. So when you graduate and you've reached, you say, now what next? Then you look for a man of God. Because you did not have the capacity to build vision, to see beyond. Are you with me?
Yes.
The world has mastered the art of vision. Mastered the art of vision. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook has been losing a lot of, I was talking with someone yesterday, Facebook has been losing a lot of subscribers because people have moved to the likes of Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, and what's the other one?
Twitter.
Though Twitter doesn't have as, I'm talking about this TikTok, eh? Now, people have found, I remember the other day I found my I'll call her my niece, eh? And she's just left her teens. And so I was telling her, you can go to the ministry page on Facebook. She said, Facebook? Do you have TikTok? I said, Lord, have mercy. Yeah? So I need you to understand that. So Mark Zuckerberg realized, and he knows it, that people are starting to leave Facebook. So strategically, he changes the name. Changes it to Meta. Because prophetically, he has had the ability to see that even if I'm losing money now, what I'm investing in the future will compensate what I'm losing now. Are you with me? So he has seen years ahead. Well, right now, people are announcing Facebook is losing money. The ability to be prophetic, to see ahead. Google invested $500 million into Metaverse. Now, by the time someone is getting that money and putting it in there, they've seen something you're not seeing. Are you with me? The ability to be prophetic. Netflix has been losing subscribers. People are getting off. Why? Because there are other competitors that are coming up, Disney Plus, and so on and so forth. Okay? So people are getting off. And maybe rising fuel prices. How many people say, I can't pay what? For Netflix. And they increase their prices. And so what have they done? Realizing that they're losing subscribers in the West, they focus on Africa and Asia. And so they come to Africa and Asia and they ask. They study the environment. I want you to understand how these people are strategic. So they come, they study the environment. I say, we need movies that can appeal to the African population. It says, producer, how much are you paid here in Africa? It says, $3.5 million in Uganda. I'll give you $300 a day. I'm in heaven. 1 month, that's, I'm in heaven. And so you see the producer jumps onto Netflix. When he jumps onto Netflix, naturally, because he's earning more, Netflix will earn 10 times more. All right? But not only that, even though he has produced the movie, Netflix owns the narrative. Yeah. And he says, I want you to put a gay person in this movie. They're paying you more than they would in Uganda. And so if they tell you to put a gay person in, you say, you count this money and you say, eh, let me just put the gay person. The person who owns the narrative is more powerful. And so they've mastered the art of laying out strategy. When DSTV was coming into Uganda and parts of Africa, DSTV made, you guys want me to quote scriptures? Okay, when DSTV came into Africa, DSTV, when it was expanding into parts of the rest of Africa from South Africa, it decided to come up with a strategy. So in every country, they partnered with the government. And they agreed that they would never air anything political against the government. So government would say, come on in. Besides, we have shares in it. And so you expand easily because your strategy, you've understood how African leaders think. Meanwhile, you want to expand and you're thinking, so I'm going to go into Nigeria, I'm going to go into what? I'm going to. You, by wisdom, a house is built. A wisdom, a house is built. Have you mastered the art of seeing what these guys are doing? What they are setting up? Do you know that the moment a person is born, there are people who are born and they have specific gifts upon their lives. From the time they are young, and the enemy can see it, and so can God. And so what happens is that when that gift is so profound, there is a battle to get that person to represent a particular kingdom. And so if you, let's go to the kingdom of music. If you pay attention to the kingdom of music, for example, that a lot of people that have moved up the ranks in that kingdom first started through the level of innocence. So you start through innocence, enter the stage of compromise, then initiation, then finally sacrifice. Can I explain those?
Yes.
Briefly. So, who can I use as an example? Say Beyonce. Beyonce starts out at Destiny's Child. Very innocent lady. Singing what songs? Okay? So she sings specific songs as Destiny's Child. And you can see this beautiful young lady, good at dancing with her group. They have nice, catchy songs. Then somewhere around there, compromise comes in when she connects herself to specific people. Then after compromise comes in, then you know there's some sort of initiation when the name changes to Sasha Fierce. Then you know something else has taken over. Look at her interview with Oprah. She said, there's an alternate ego called Sasha Fierce that takes over. And you think she's just talking. And you know an initiation has taken place. Then finally, the person reaches a stage of being a queen. Queen bee. And no one reaches the level of queen, king in that world unless a sacrifice has been made. And I want you to understand that they don't just call people things for the sake of calling people. Let's go to Michael Jackson. Starts out innocent. At some stage, there's compromise. Sings songs, am I black or white? You understand? Then you know at some stage, there's initiation. Children are involved. Then by the time you reach the place where you're a king of pop, you've entered a place where in order to get music, you must sleep and enter that world. Now, I'm going to show you unorthodox preaching. Yeah? But this is very, very important because you remember these things when they're given to you as they are. That people have gone through stages in order to reach the pinnacle. All right? Let's look at the movie industry. Because you see, these guys have mastered the art of subliminal messaging. Meanwhile, you're in the movie industry, you're called to media, and in your mind you think that in order to represent the kingdom of God, the movie must have Jesus in it. Yeah? And so the way the church is tailored is that it tailors its music, it tailors its movies, it tailors its things to reach the church. Meanwhile, the other guys are tailoring the things to reach everyone. Okay. So they're wrapping it. And they realize you're not going to accept certain things if we give them to you straight. So let's hide them in plain sight. And so if you listen to a song by Snoop Dogg called Dog Sanatis, backwards, saying Satan is God. That's the title of the song, Dog Sanatis. And it's... And so meanwhile, you're listening to the song, it's a man, Snoop Dogg. Huh? Snoop Dogg. And you don't know that by the time a person has labeled a song that, its impact must be beyond what you're hearing, what you're feeling. So they hide it in plain sight, right there. Christians have not learned the art of subliminal messaging. And if we want to dominate, we must hide things in plain sight. Okay. I'm going to tell you, must learn the art of hiding things in plain sight. Amen. Right there. And so here's what they do. And I could go on forever. Here's what they do. Take for example, someone is setting up a movie and they want to promote homosexuality. And so 30 minutes of the beginning of the movie, there's no homosexuality, but 10 seconds are there. Then they go back to the rest of the movie. And you're thinking it was just 10 seconds. But if it's a series of 25 episodes, and every 10 seconds it's being shown to you, at some point, you just conform and say, hey, some people conform. If you're not guarded, just say, but there's nothing wrong with this stuff. And so they come up with tricks at the beginning of a movie or something. They say, this movie is rated 18. And so at the back of your mind, you say, I'm 25. It's not going to affect me. It affects 18-year-olds. I want you to understand what's... And you think, oh, they're just, you know, thinking about the children. It's the mastery of hiding things, which the church needs to learn. That's why I love the Chronicles of Narnia. The world received the movie, but received the gospel. Glory to God.
Amen.
We need more movies like that. Now, this is for people who work in the media kind of element. We need more things like that. You need to learn to hide things in plain sight. You don't know the lengths people go through. There's a series called The Craft. The Craft is a series that has to do with magic. And I want you to understand that the entire world now moved from secularism. You know, music back then was turn your lights down low. Eh? And now we're on Montero. Huh? A guy is dancing with a devil. We left turn your lights down low long ago. And we've entered spirituality being fronted right in front of you. Right in front of you. They asked that guy, Lil Nas X, that's the guy. So they asked him, if you look at his story, he started out as an innocent singer. His music, what is it? Hometown what? Yeah, I'm speaking to the right people. I'm speaking to the right people. Okay, some of you all are too deep. Eh? You're like, hometown, I just know in the name of Jesus. I've come to speak your language today. Eh? So in that song, it appealed to children. Okay? So his stardom came up with that song. The man is signed up to a record. I forget which one. And as he signed up, all of a sudden, he begins to transform. Now, he transforms. Meanwhile, these guys are sharp. So first you appeal to the children. You go, you take pictures. You go to school, speak to children. The children get hooked. Then right in front of them, your narrative begins to change. The same children are watching. And so I watched a video where they were asking him, aren't you worried about the impact you're having on children? And said, I don't care. That's not my job. You understand? Recently, one of our very own here in Uganda was doing the same thing. Eh? Now, I need you to understand something. There's the element, and there are people protecting, the element of understanding, of thinking that when you're in a limelight, you do not have a responsibility. You represent a certain kingdom, either darkness or light. Children of God, I need you to understand. I need you to understand how these guys are wrapping things right in front of us. In that series, The Craft, when I studied it, it's about, if you guys have watched this man, you only watch spiritual things, so forgive him. Eh? Just like the Novichi, eh? You'll go back and check. Huh? But in that series, The Craft, if you've watched Vampire Diaries and so on and so forth, so the world has taken on that shape of presenting spirituality and magic as normal. Okay? But they say, okay, if God is spiritual and the church is becoming spiritual, let us go ahead of them. Let us present magic, witches, vampires, wolves, and let them receive it. But receive it from the dark element. There is no such thing as a good witch. There's actually a series called The Good Witch. Now, there is someone you just... huh? Once you're a witch. These guys are sharp. So in The Craft, what happened was, when I read how they put it together, the producer said that he decided that it's about these teenagers who have the ability to conjure up specific things through witchcraft. And he said they brought a real-life witch on set to teach these guys to cast real live spells. Meanwhile, they are chanting the spells as you're watching. The depth that people are willing to go to achieve an agenda. And yet, when a person wants to influence for the kingdom, they don't go to those depths. That's why I love The Chosen. I started watching The Chosen, I think, when it had about 500,000 followers. Started to watch it. And I loved the fact that someone came up with a strategy. Not just to come up with a Jesus movie. You understand? To try to make Jesus and the disciples relatable to anyone. And so someone was telling me, have you ever had that feeling that if you've watched The Chosen, now some of you, there's a Chosen that is a secular movie. Eh? That's not the one I'm referring to. Eh? I'm referring to a Chosen that is the Jesus series. Now, someone was telling me that when you watch it, you notice that when you watch the series, the episodes, whenever Jesus shows up, there's a happiness you have in you. Because this is more than acting. They've attracted a spirit, and that spirit has backed the message. This is why, children of God, I need you to understand. I wish I could touch as many industries as possible. But I need you to understand that you can have grace. Grace backs something that is being done. You can sit, and with your grace, sit. And nothing shifts. I'm telling you. And so someone sets out and says, we have a target. They had a vision. 1 billion people. I said, wow. I said, how are we going to raise it? Hollywood is not going to allow us. So let us go to our own. A strategy that comes up. And slowly you see it building, 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 building. And then non-believers now are like, this is very interesting. I've never seen Jesus in this light. A person doesn't even know that they're necessarily watching something gospel. They're just like, this is interesting. Because it has been wrapped and presented a particular way. They've mastered the art of subliminal messaging. Take The Simpsons. Can you go there? Simpsons, animation. Simpsons has been deemed prophetic. You see, prophecy is not just about I prophesy. You can prophesy in writing. You can prophesy in animation. You can prophesy in music. Are you with me? So someone, whether demonic or godly, mastered the art of portraying the prophetic gift in animation and hides the message inside there. Meanwhile, you're an animator of the kingdom of God. And you're thinking, what is it that I'm supposed to do? So we're going to do a Jesus animation. If you can see in the spirit, if you have access to someone who can see in the spirit, you can come up with something that preaches a message where the world takes note without realizing that the gospel is being preached to them. I'm trying to make sense to you. Let's go to writing. You know a lady called Jennifer Makumbi? Is it? She's called what? Nansuga. Okay? So she writes a book called Chintu. Now some of you are just there. You're like, hey, Temusoma. Yeah? You're just like, oh, well, what is that? Today you go back, eh? So she writes a book called Chintu. Eh? Chintu is a fantastic book, by the way, for those who are readers. Eh? So she writes this book, and it has spirituality in it. Does it not? Okay? It has spiritual aspects in it. Why? Because the direction the world is heading today is that people are drawn to spirituality. So if you're going to do a love novel, let it be a love novel that is spiritual, that has spiritual aspects, that portrays the aspects of the kingdom in it. Why? Because these writers have understood where it lies. There's a writer coming out now. You're going to see a movie in a couple of years called The Atlas Six. It's about magicians. It's the next Harry Potter. A lady started writing this fantastic book about magicians, and the world caught onto it, and they want to make it a movie. Because the world is drawn to spirituality. Drawn to spirituality. All right? So when you're writing a book, you're an author. There's no way you can tell me you're writing and you leave out the aspect of spirituality in the age when there's a battle between Moses and Jannes and Jambres. Meanwhile, for you, you said, my work as a kingdom writer. Huh? this church now, the church is this. All things work together for good. You then quote scriptures. You're trying to reach non-believers, child of God. Subliminal messaging. Putting the message right in front of someone. They see it, but they can't see it. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. People have mastered this art. If you go to fashion, go down to fashion. Just the logo Versace. Do you know what it came up with? You know the Versace logo? The logo is, it's a logo of a head with snakes. Medusa. An ancient Greek personality that apparently had snake hair. And whenever he looked into her eyes, you turned into stone. And so when they asked him, why did you come up with such a logo? He said, my aim was that when people look at my clothing, they stop. They can't go away from it, you know? They're drawn to it. These guys are intentional. Everything from logo to color, there is intentionality. Meanwhile, the church is, someone is putting together a logo. And you're just like, green, blue. Green means deep things in the spirit. Blue means... child of God. Am I ministering? Huh? Are you getting me? Guys have mastered the art. The Met Gala takes on different spiritual themes. People are dressing up, but you can look at someone who has dressed up and you almost feel the spirit of it. Just clothes. Now imagine coming up with a fashion. And you see, this is the other thing is, the spirit of innovation and creativity is with us, but we're not creative. And this is the thing, or we're refusing to be. This is the thing that beats my understanding. The Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. He says, behold, I do a new thing. That shows that God is innovative. He doesn't bore you with the same thing. And yet it says his same spirit is in you. Now, if he's in you, you have the ability to be as creative. And so you set up something fashion, but you go to Google to look at the people of the world and replicate. What are you doing? There is no dominion without that, because there has to be an authenticity from the spirit.
Amen.
It has to be authentic. Has to be. Go to the mineral world. The devil has camped there. Why? The devil camps in a number of places. The Bible refers to him as the prince of the power of the air, meaning media. Air, media. I don't have time to go into that. Scripture then refers to him. It says that he was adorned with different minerals. So he camps in the mineral world. And just someone thinks that these things are just... Then he says he was a worshiper, so he camps in music. There are places you do not just go. Me, I'm going to dominate. You have to... Now, some people know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Eh? I wish I could touch as many industries as possible. Because you need to understand that, yes, the dark world has its stretch over many places, but the places the devil has called his own. And so with media, the devil has learned to control the psyches of men. And so the more people watch these things, the more you watch narrative, people are buying up news stations. They own the media. Why? I can own the narrative. And so the question I ask is, if I'm seeing the same thing on CNN for 6 months, is it there because it's important, or it's there because they want me to think it is? Is it there? Is it there because they're trying to divert my mind from something more important? And so suddenly, certain people have realized, people are waking up, they're realizing that certain news stations are not telling the truth. And so now people are moving to Indian... Guys are moving to World is One. Why on? Huh? And so, because it's unbiased, it's news that is given to you as it is. But why does an Indian have to come up with it? Where is the Christian? Imagine coming up with news. You say there's been a thunderstorm and floods in a certain place. And then you end it by saying, the desire of the Lord is this. And this is news. And people start going, because you're not guessing, you're prophetic. You're reading news because God has told you something of what is to come and what his hand is in a certain place. There are places when things happen, there are places where people die because, I wish I could go through scripture, and we don't have time for that. There are places where people die because blood was shed there. And so there are certain things that come to certain places because of the things that are done in the place. Then there are things that are brought into a place because of natural occurrences. Okay? Shifting of tectonic plates and the likes. The ability to distinguish the two will determine, as a Christian, what news you drink in. Because most of us, I told you last time that during the tsunami in 2008, the animals shifted weeks before the human beings realized there was a tsunami coming. And so human beings died. The only animals that died were domestic. Because they got nowhere to go, you understand? Eh? They kept on scratching on the door, get me out of here! And nothing was happening. And said, yet we're the intellectual ones. We're the ones with the Spirit of God. But an animal can hear the frequency of a wave saying, I'm coming, move. But a human cannot. The ability to say, news alert, tsunami. The Spirit of the Lord says, 3 weeks from now, there's a tsunami coming. Shift. Do you know how many people, you get it right once, get it right twice, thrice, people start tuning in. And they don't care if you end it by, in the name of Jesus. You understand? Why? Because they've seen you're getting it right. If you want the right place, this is the place. And I'm trying to tell you why the devil is controlling these things. Try to control. And so they come down to Africa. And one time I had a man of God say that you need to understand, I can come and teach you how to fish, but you don't need, that's not what you need. You need to own the pond. You don't need to be taught how to fish, because if you don't own the pond, you could learn how to fish, go to the pond, and the guy says, get off. And that's why ownership is the first place of dominion. The first place. When you have something that is yours, you control its narrative. So in the church, as we speak, ownership is extremely crucial. The good thing about Africa, with all its confusion, is that you need to understand, is that the place is still very spiritual. All these people are coming from the West to come to Asia and Africa, where the spirituality is. There's a drug called ayahuasca. A drug called ayahuasca. I hope I pronounced it right. That drug is what they call a psychedelic. A psychedelic drug is a drug that affects your psyche. Huh? People go to Peru and Brazil, the Amazon, to take this drug. And with it, they're taken into the spirit world. They can see spirits, they encounter with entities, and they can see the future. Many stars are doing that. Will Smith on YouTube talked about it himself. He said he took a drug called ayahuasca, and before he slapped Chris Rock, this was a while before he slapped Chris Rock, he took this drug and he said he found himself rising, and he saw his money running away from him. This drug. And so he saw it running. And he's saying, what is going on? He tried to run after it. He saw it going. And then he said, I realized I was seeing my future. Then later, I slap someone. And all these guys start pulling out sponsors, so on. There are many stars that are taking it. Hollywood parties, people are having these ayahuasca drugs. Some people are getting in contact with entities in the spirit, because people are drawn to the spirit world. They've realized that one of the best ways to numb people is drugs. You know, it used to happen in the past. Those Pharisees, what they used to do,
is because God was not in that temple.
Eh?
God was not in what they were doing. Eh? Hmm? They were into religion. So what would happen is that when people came from far and near to go to the temple once a year, they would put drugs and they would rise up as incense. So people would think they're having a spiritual experience. I'm telling you the truth. You go, it's historical, it's a fact. Think they're having a spiritual experience. And yet, in fact, they were having a, you see, in fact, they were having a spiritual experience. But I thought they were having a godly. God does not need drugs to make you have an experience. And so these guys would rise and say, surely the presence of the Lord is here. I remember back in school, I had a friend, I won't mention his name, but he used to say, Daniel, man, when I take myself some weed, I can see numbers. The colors are fresh. Guy would be in heights. It's just, and yet the guy would go for papers and smash them because he said there was a clarity that he had. Oh, my sweet Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. So guys have mastered the art because, you see, drugs, especially drugs are meant to give you a height. Alcohol is meant to sort a low. You know, the height of alcohol is different from the height of drugs. Eh? Oh my God, today this teaching. What is going on here? Eh? I wonder how he's feeling. So he's trying to play something deep, but he's like, eh? Anyway, let me leave that. So they're mastering the art of hiding things in plain sight, bringing something to you and allowing you to accept it as so. I want you to understand that many of these people who have risen to the heights of different industries have things they're doing. Take, for example, the way they nurture up. Let's go to food. Let's go to food, for example. All of us, we're trying to present a kingdom culture to the world. We're trying to present it to the world. The world is trying to present us its culture. And so every country, or most, some of the major countries, have mastered the way of fostering their culture and pushing it in front of you. So the Japanese come up with animes. And so when you watch those anime cartoons, you're drinking in a culture. And even start speaking Japanese, you learn a few Japanese words. Why? Because animes have become popular. Then you watch movies and you know what tequila is. You understand? You understand Mexican food. Why? Because someone has mastered the art of selling a culture in a movie. Meanwhile, here we're making movies and we're taking their culture and putting it in our movies. And they're coming telling you conform because our culture is greater. Meanwhile, the people in the past who are telling us that this spirituality, and I need you to understand that not every one of our ancestors here in Africa was involved in witchcraft. There was a spirituality where those people had an actual connection to God. Not everyone was into witchcraft. Not everyone. You see, the way the Bible is written focusing on Israel. And because it's written focusing on Israel, it doesn't mean that God was not moving on other people in other places around the world. You'll be shocked when you get into heaven and you hear, Mutagwanya. And you say, who is that guy? I haven't heard him in the Bible. Mbabazi. Because God moved upon people. It's just that the way the Bible is written is that God is focusing on a particular place. Can I continue? Oh, you see, So they've learned the art of selling their culture before you. So you think it's the best thing there is. Now, leave alone the culture of Africa. The culture of the kingdom has to be sold in these movies, has to be sold in that music, has to be sold in these books. One day, I want Julia Roberts to be eating matoke. Yes, sir.
on you know, movie set and says, this is matoke, and you've mastered the art of selling it, instead of burgers, oh, Japanese food and Korean food, guys have mastered that art. And as a kingdom, I'm trying to tell you, all these industries have a strategy. When it comes to finance, there's a different kind of strategy. Because with financing, it's all about control. So control is set through debt. All right? Now, owe no man any debt except the debt. That's what the Bible says. And so someone is out there emphasizing that, you know, you must be in debt in order to succeed. I want to debunk some things that I think of. There are people out there who shout dominion. They shout dominion and they want to go into the world and act like the world. That's not what dominion is. Dominion is you come with the light of the kingdom and you press out the darkness. So I want you to understand that it is possible for you to succeed in any industry by standing with the values of God. Very possible. Let me take you through people. There are people in the industry. Julia Roberts stood her ground. I will do no movie where I'm naked. She's successful. Anna Kendrick. You know Anna Kendrick? What? Pitch Perfect? Said, I will not undress. There's a guy called Kirk Cameron. For him, it was Christian values. I don't kiss any woman except my wife. I'm trying to make it clear to you. The Rock insisted that the roles that he plays, a husband, father, or hero, I don't have time for love. Now, by standing by their values, they've still succeeded. And yet someone is out there saying that, you know, you need to like compromise, so in order to rise, you first act like them. No! How will the light shine in the darkness? And these guys, many of them are not doing them for Christian aspects. They're just personal convictions and values. What about yours? And I'm trying to tell you that you stand for something, grace backs it. It's the only way we will rise. It's the reason why I don't believe a lot in just being a pulpit guy. I believe that my teaching gift must go through every avenue available to me. And so I'll teach in a podcast. I'll teach going to a trip. I'll teach in as many ways that the Lord avails to me at every stage of time. Because this is just a brick in the building. It's just a brick. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, child of God, I'm telling you. Today's message is just... You go back and look at all the guys that you guys love, all these people that you guys love. People are hiding messages. They've come up, first of all, they have a vision set up years before that if we're going to have a COVID and we need the world shut down, start planning in 1901. Meanwhile, someone comes to me and says, Rabbi, me, I want to go to Canada. Then I say, okay, wonderful. First sit down with me. And then what? I say, yeah, so I'm going to get a job, yes, and then I'm going to earn money. Okay, and then what? I want to see how far you've seen. How far have you seen? How far? Remember the scripture I told you? I've forgotten. Luke chapter 16, verse 9. Give it to me again. Luke 16, verse 9. Gosh. Quick. And I say to you, make friends of yourselves to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. You see, you cannot, it doesn't make sense. With the scripture actually that I began with, it doesn't make sense to want to go to Bali but not have a passport. I don't know if you understand. Jesus said in scripture, he said it, a powerful
verse, he said, actually it wasn't Jesus, it was John, in 1 John. He said, how can you love God whom you have not seen, yet you hate the brother whom you see? The principle there is, how can you love Bali and hate the passport? I don't know if you get what I'm saying, yeah? Go get a passport. Huh? Okay. How can you love the ability to make a company just like Google and not register your company? How can you love? You can't love what you don't see. Huh? And hate what is right here near you. The ability to register. And so when you start from something, everything starts to shape it. Because God, grace needs something to back. It needs something to back, Vanang. Needs something to back. Huh? How can you love marriage and yet be refusing guys here? I'm kidding. Some of them need to be refused. Praise the Lord. I want you to understand that we have been called to be strategic. We have been called to set up things. We have been called to understand the patterns of those who have gone before us and set it up in things like music. A music album does not... You see, a music... I've said it before. Music is not Christian because it has Christian words in it. You've heard of that song? Hallelujah. There's a song like that, eh? Eh? And yet the song is just off. There's nothing about it. Yeah, the guy is using the word hallelujah. And so I remember the time I found out, I was listening to it and I was in the car and I was just like... And my wife said, do you know what you're listening to? I said, it has hallelujah in it. And I said, Googled. Huh? Listen to the lyrics of a song called Hotel California. The words inside that song are just demonic. Meanwhile, the tune is fantastic. Eh? And so you just swear along. Now, my point is this. That we can use their tools against them. We can. Huh? It's not enough just to bake a cake. Say, Rabbi, today we have got as many people buying my cake as possible. See beyond. And beyond, I'm not saying just building a cake thing. I'm talking about elements of purpose. You know? One day, you're standing before that it's a president's birthday, and they chose you. And so we'd like to thank the person providing cake. Do you have something to say? Never say no, because God has provided you the platform. You get there and say, I would like to thank Jesus. Some of you, I want you to understand, some of these industries, they're industries where it's very easy for a person to portray Christ. It's clear in media, you're going to set up a film that will portray the message. In music, you're going to do the same. But what about someone who has a job? The aim is that all of us are called to have a spirit of excellence. So that in everything that we move in, as we rise, you reach a pinnacle where you're the message. And you stand up there and say, imagine you're the head of a company. I remember when I was at URA, the manager of the section that I was in was born again. And we had Muslims and so on in our section. And so this lady would stand up and say, today we're praying. You dare speak against the manager. Right? Eh? The manager believes in Jesus. He said, all of us, we sit here. If you don't want to pray, fine, but sit. And so they would just sit there like so. And so through time, you would see them. Why? It's subliminal. As long as you're around the atmosphere, you just conform. Then suddenly someone starts asking, hey, I liked the word that you shared. So Jesus, do you guys see Jesus as a prophet? It has moved from I cannot attend your session to conversation. That's where you're called. That's how you influence people. That's how your light shines. But you must learn the art of being excellent. Amen.
Excellent. Hmm? If I told you some of the ladies, in fact, I thank God for the team that we have. Because when we're putting together a video podcast, these girls don't release anything until the tiny detail is as they desire, to the extent that they even tire out the guys editing the what? Because the spirit of excellence has captured them. They've understood that when we release something, it's not just representing the ministry, it's representing God. And so when someone like my brother, who's a non-believer, gets to a podcast, may not believe in the message, but he says, man, I like the quality of your stuff. Let's start from there. Yeah. Now, yeah, when you don't have quality stuff, huh? And they say, you're a Christian. You understand, eh? Me, I believe that God has called us to be excellent in every area. And the thing is this. Learn to be aware of what is in their industry. Have knowledge before you add spiritual knowledge. Understand how it operates. Every country is different. Learn to be exposed. This is the reason why we need you to travel. Some of you, the only world you know is Bugolobi. And you see, there's a difference. There's a difference between knowing Uganda, and being exposed to it. So you're in Bugolobi. You've never left Bugolobi. But you know Chobe. You know it. And it's different when someone has been exposed. And so they've gone there. When they come back, the things that they say. And so many of these guys, their influences, they don't just come up with things. They go touch the ground. They come to Africa, study, expose themselves, then release something, and you just conform. Meanwhile, you want to do a movie that will affect Hollywood. But you want to do it just from the confines of Bugolobi. You get a passport, you say, at some point, I'll have to travel here. At some point, I'll have to do this. That's how God backs. Then destiny helpers begin to show up. Your partners, they begin to show up. I want to end with something. I noticed that of the 50 billionaires on the face of this earth, 50, the greatest, the 50 biggest, 20 are Jewish. Zuckerberg, Bill Gates has some Jewish lineage in him. Larry Ellison, okay, Bezos. Now, I was telling someone yesterday that these guys may not be Jewish in belief, but they are Jewish as a people. You know, there's a difference. And in their mindset, whether they believe it or not, God made a covenant with Abraham. And the covenant, the highlight of that covenant was this: I will give you the power to make wealth. That's why they don't believe a lot in Christians, because they believe that the highlight of a covenant made by God must have wealth in it. And if I look at you, you're preaching a God, but you're broke. I'm sorry, that ain't no covenant I'm interested in. That's why we're trying to get you up. And I believe in the last days, when those Jews come to God, there must have been some money that showed up. You understand? It showed up and guys are like, Katonda. These Jews, all of them are dominating. They have the biggest real estate in the U.S., all over the world. These guys are born into a covenant, whether they believe it or not. Zuckerberg says by the time he was young, his dad used to teach him tithe element. Tithe. And give as much as possible. Gates says the same thing. Meanwhile, here at the church, we're arguing whether tithe is necessary or not. Can you imagine? We are arguing. The other ones, from the time they are young, it is set inside you. Tithe, give. You will never lack. Meanwhile, some of you come here or come to wherever you call home, and say, today, God, really? I'll miss tithe today. The other one it's drilled in from the time he's a child. It becomes addictive. Now, because they don't have any religious mindset to it, they work their heads off. And when they work, the covenant backs. Now you are both a child of Abraham and you have a new testament, new covenant. But you're busy looking for some formula in the spirit. Meanwhile, the other guy doesn't believe in God. He's just born into the covenant and it works. You're born into a similar covenant, a greater one. But you're trying to work things out. Huh, Rabbi, so when I pray in tongues, I need to pray in tongues how long? Huh? Child of God, believe the covenant you are born in. Be excellent, be diligent. Notice in scripture that Jesus, there's nowhere in the Bible where Jesus is playing with children. From the time he's young. Why? Because the focus is the mission. The focus, God wants to see you. 12 years old, he's on mission. It doesn't mean it's wrong. My mindset is that God is trying to get you to a point. The mission should be the focus. Get there. There's no way you don't see Moses playing around with people. You understand? The Bible says it was as if he could see the invisible God. Focus. Be diligent. Grace backs what you're working at. Now, these things of just sitting and somehow you want Rabbi to give you another prophecy, they will accumulate. I'm telling you. They just accumulate. I want you to understand, if you have a ministry of love, if you have a ministry to reach out to people, it's more than just, oh, let me help you. What? Think big. Allow yourself to dream. See yourself on television. See yourself on YouTube. And ministering love. Amen. Your vision must be at least 5, 6, 7 years ahead. Amen. It must be. Me. My belief is at some point in the future, we will be able to give experiences here. First of all, natural. I say, so the other day, I was in Bali, and you sit there, and you won't just listen, hoping someday you'll go to Bali. When I mention a street in Bali, you say, oh yes, that's the street we went to. There's something about hearing a message when you've experienced it. Something about it. It carries you to the place. Children of God, I'm telling you. I spend nights. My wife knows I spend nights. I sleep at 4. Yesterday I slept at 5. Woke up at 6:30. I have to go back and sleep. I'm not doing so well. but the entire time, I was looking at all these things that I tell you about. I study how the world has mastered the art of strategically reaching people. Say, Lord, how can I play my part? Podcast is not enough. Okay? What do I do? Okay, so next year we have to do this. I have to find out how possible this is. And I plan ahead. You understand? God is a God of plans. And you are made like him, so you must have one. These things of, amen, man of God, amen. Go back next Friday. Amen, man of God, go back next Friday. Amen. Just congregant. No. Do you know there's an abomination under the sun? We have billionaires that are Christians. Billionaires that are Christians that have reduced the responsibility God has given them to tithing and partnering churches. That's important. But when you stand before God, they will have to give account. To whom much is given, much is required. And so you notice what the billionaires of the world are doing. Okay? They look for a president who's going to foster their agenda and back it. They look for movies that are going to foster their agenda and back it. Why can't a billionaire, these billionaires that are rising here? You say, there's a Christian standing in Kenya. Let me back you. You've gone beyond tithing and partnering. Are you with me, child of God? That's where we're supposed to go. That's where we're supposed to go. And that's my heart's cry. That's my heart's cry. Praise the Lord. I'll finally say that the day you're not here for fellowship because your purpose is occupying you, I'll be the happiest person. But if you're not here because you know, today it rained. Eh? And people say, oh, today I didn't feel like it. I was at a banker's meeting. I was what? That's all fine. You can get the audio. But there's something about eating food live. And so when we send you out there, our job as men of God is to equip you. You will never make money. Let me tell you, you will never make money if the thing that you're producing is just about you. It has to be about the people who are going to take it. That's why ministers who have learned the art of true ministry do not focus on themselves. And they are loved more because they have understood that ministry is about people. Now here for you, when you're thinking, your first thought is, I need to make money. Next time when I teach, I'll tell you about the seven levels of money. Or revenue. Seven. There are levels.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.